It's good to see everyone this morning. Before I jump into the final message in this series, Digging Deeper, I'm going to read something to you that Rochelle brought to me late last night, just before we went to bed, that really speaks to this series, but it also opens the door to this final message this morning. It will not be on the screen because it's hot off the wire given to me by my wife last night. It's from Charles Spurgeon, who said, "No man who merely skims the book of God can profit from it. We must dig in mine until we obtain hidden treasures." Now, in part one, I spoke about the famine of the word. We want to walk in the blessed life. Let's remember the blessed life is more than money. And there's been an inconsistency in the church to walk in the blessed life because we've been skimming the Word of God instead of digging into the Word of God. And in 2024, we're going to have to dig into the Word of God. We can't be skimming the Word of God. Only when we have a need or when we want something, it needs to be daily, every day. We must have a regular rhythm and routine to our devotional life. That is what's most important. And we've got to get into the Word of God. We've got to reside in it. We've got to sit in it. It's got to be a part of us. Because we need to know the Word to do the second part. We've got to stop skimming in prayer. We're not walking in the fullness of the blessed life because we're skimming in prayer instead of digging into prayer and being consistent with our prayer, praying without ceasing. And in 2024, we're going to have to dig deeper into prayer time. We're going to have to spend more time in prayer and less time allowing ourselves to be distracted. I am seriously thinking about preaching on the addiction of distractions. We've got to do away with the distractions, and we've got to get into prayer. We've got to quit skimming in prayer, and we've got to start digging in prayer. That was part one and part two. And in both areas, there's a famine of the word, there's a famine of prayer. We want the nation to change, we want the world to change, but we're skimming instead of digging. It's important that the church stop doing that. Now, Spurgeon makes comment here about digging and mining for hidden treasures. There are things that you need right this moment that you're only going to get from digging in the Word of God. There are things that you need to know right now that you'll only receive while you are in prayer before the Father. We have to stop walking in lack because we're skimming. We need to start walking in abundance because we're digging into the Word and in prayer. Now, he speaks of the treasure. That brings us to today and the closing message on this sermon series. And it all is exposed. This treasure is exposed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll begin to read in verse 16 from the Expanded Bible. "Always be joyful, rejoice, pray continually without ceasing, and give thanks. Whatever happens," underline, "whatever happens." No, Pastor, I am not going to underline. I'm going to strike through it. "Whatever happens in all circumstances, in everything." That is what God wants. God's will for you in Christ Jesus. People ask all the time, "What is God's will for my life?" I just read it to you. Come on. There's more that God wants you to do that's His will for your life. But this is the beginning right here. In this verse, right off the bat, "Be joyful, rejoice." That's God's will for your life. We have three simple directives in this passage of Scripture: rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. And not just in times of prosperity and joy, but in all circumstances. In all circumstances. And then he caps it off with a divine truth: "This is my will for you in Christ Jesus." Give praise, give thanks in all things. I've been giving you digging deeper truths. The first one and the second one and part one and part two. You need to go back. If you've not listened or heard those messages, you can do that on YouTube or Facebook, North Elevation Church. But the third truth that I'm going to bring out today, digging deeper truth number three, is make being thankful a timeless lifestyle. I love what Dr. David Jeremiah said. He said, no matter what our circumstances, we can find a reason to be thankful. John and Sally, I know that you're watching me this morning. And in the most trying of circumstances with the loss of your son, you found reason to be thankful. Rochelle and I were witness to that. And you didn't do it one day or for a few minutes or a few hours. You did it every day that we were around you. Even when we weren't close to you, we would hear you finding reasons to be thankful in the most trying circumstance of the loss of your son. The two of you began to break down the walls that were in people's lives. You began to minister to the broken, and you began to bring life-giving hope to those around you because you found reason in your circumstances to give thanks. You were expressing to the world around you that you have a lifestyle of thanksgiving, and I want to thank you for that. That is what the church is supposed to do. Today's challenge, tomorrow's challenge, next week's challenge, next month's challenge, next year's challenge is to dig deeper and cultivate a life of thanksgiving. That is the challenge. And maintaining that lifestyle, no matter what the circumstances. And giving thanks in all circumstances. I didn't say give thanks to your circumstances. But you give thanks in all circumstances. We want to draw the world to the hope. And they need to see that our hope is in Christ Jesus, the Christ that's in us. And even in our trying circumstances, He is still Christ in us, and we give thanks. As we witness John and Sally giving thanks in this very hard season of life, I watched with my own eyes. I started seeing walls breaking down because they chose to have a reason to be thankful. Are we choosing to have a reason to be thankful? Now, some of you may not get the next quote I'm about to read, but Charles Spurgeon had a very interesting way of speaking towards giving thanks in all circumstances. He said, I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. He was making a strong point that whatever hits me, I'm still going to give thanks. And that leads me to a pinned truth from me this morning. Giving thanks in all circumstances is challenging. And don't let the light blink and bother you. They're having stuff today, but we get past that, right? We were portable for 10 years. We can deal with anything. We can deal with anything. Giving thanks in all circumstances is challenging, but it's a blueprint for the blessed life in Christ Jesus. It is the blueprint for the blessed life in Christ Jesus. Well, it's easy for you, Pastor, because you don't face anything. I don't think that's quite true. We do. Now, in over 38 years of ministry now, I'm basically asked the same three questions when I bring up the subject of we need to give thanks in all circumstances. And it seems to be always these three. The first one is, how can we give thanks in the midst of trials and tribulations? Two, how can we rejoice in times of sorrow? Three, how can we maintain a posture of prayer when we are surrounded by chaos and uncertainty? Good questions. Legitimate questions. I get the questions. I've asked them in myself. It's very simple. It's so simple, it's hard because it's so simple. It boils down to one thing. It's a choice. It's a choice to believe that Christ Jesus lives in you or he doesn't. It's a choice to believe that the Holy Spirit is with you and in you and a part of you, and that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Nothing is impossible for him. Christ lives in me, so I have in me the ability to make the right choice and to do this, and God will strengthen me. He will help me. He will guide me. He'll lead me. He'll give me what I need to stand up and find reason to give him thanks. Do I believe that? It's a choice. It's simply a choice. To dig deeper and choose to be thankful anyway. I've made a pen note this morning. Thankfulness transcends your circumstances. Thankfulness transcends your circumstances. Let me put it this way. If we will cultivate and have a life of thanksgiving, it will overtake your circumstances. That's a fact. But if you're not doing it, then you don't know of it. But you cultivate that lifestyle, you'll watch it consume and overtake your circumstances. Do you mean my circumstances go away? No, but they don't control you. Thanksgiving. I love what Elizabeth Elliot said. She speaks to this. The secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. Not me in some different circumstances. I'm going to bring up some personal stuff here in a moment. So I'm not going to preach to you what I'm not working and living out in my own life. That's not fair to you. And I've seen a lot of that. We tell people what to do, but we don't do it. It'd be better we just keep quiet. I didn't get an amen on that. Better we just keep quiet. Amen. Don't tell other people to do stuff you're not doing. Yeah, but it's good information. It's good wisdom. Well, won't you take on the wisdom and walk in it? And then share it. An evangelist friend of mine, some of the people in this room will know him, Ivan Tate. One day I asked him about something, and I said, well, why don't you preach on that? He said, well, the Lord got onto me during a fast that I was always preaching stuff I wasn't living. And he told me I had to live this for 3 years before I could preach it. Whoa. I will share some personal stuff with you this morning. It's good for me to remind myself, but it all shows you that we can all do this. But you got to cultivate it. You got to be intentional. You got to make the right choices, because every day is not easy. Pin truth concerning what she said. We can choose to focus on our problems and what's wrong, or we can focus on our blessings and what's right. It's a choice we have to make. It's digging deeper. Well, Pastor, I wish you'd stop the series on digging deeper. Digging deeper always exposes stuff, doesn't it? Now, there's a few family members in here that know that we moved. Didn't see that coming. And I think if I'd have known how much work and physical labor I was going to do for the past 18 months, I would have said, God, thank you, but no thank you. And as I was digging out 40 years of growth at the front of the property, it was about 40 feet deep, and it's, 100 feet, I don't know. I'm digging all that out, and I'm going through years of just build up in the deal, and I started uncovering a lot of stuff. I started finding out where all the drinkers were hanging out. They were hiding in them bushes and leaving all their stuff there. When we dig, we uncover stuff. But they are treasures to blessing our lives. We think conviction's not a blessing. Conviction is an absolute blessing because it gets you back where you need to be, gets you locked into where you need to be so that you can walk in the blessed life. Don't excuse conviction away by saying, oh, that's just condemnation from the devil. No. Condemnation is not from God, but conviction from the Holy Spirit is real. So we've got to dig so that we can walk in the blessed life. Let me read from Philippians. I'm going to read from the Amplified. Now that I speak from my any personal need, for I have learned to be content and self-sufficient through Christ, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or uneasy, regardless of my circumstances. I know how to get along and live humbly in difficult times. I also know how to enjoy abundance and live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing life, whether well-fed or going hungry, whether having an abundance or being in need. I can do all things which He has called me to do through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. In Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm going to praise anyway. I'm going to find a reason to be thankful. And my Father is going to make whatever's going on come to my benefit. And I'm going to see the hope of His glory even in my circumstances. Because Christ is my sufficiency, not me. Worrying about it, fretting about it, not sleeping because of it is not a healthy way to live. Live a life of thanksgiving. Let me dig deeper. Number one, thanksgiving is a discipline. It doesn't come naturally. It's not easy. I admit that. It's not easy. It doesn't come naturally to us. The first thing that normally comes to our mind is negativity. The voice of reason. Don't be the voice of reason, be negative. Give me a solution. Let's let God do some really cool stuff. Let's get out of negativity. Because that's unhealthy. It's not easy. You got to work it like a muscle. You have got to exercise thanksgiving. I'm walking from the office this week to the back of the building to check on something. I crossed through those doors. I didn't take another step through the doors, and I just stopped in the threshold of those doors. And I looked up, and I began to thank God for the wall. There wasn't a wall there last year this time. There's a wall there now. And I just thank God for the wall. You say, well, cultivate a life of thanksgiving. When I came down here during our winter storm in Texas, I came down here to check on the building after it snowed. It had iced some here. Came down to check on the building, and I grabbed that lock on the gate. That stupid lock. If you've had to unlock it as much as I have, you get tired of unlocking that gate out there. But that's in our lease, and that's part of the rules here with the owner. And I'm looking at that lock, And my thought is to say something, and I said no. I held that lock up, and I looked up at the building, and I said, thank you, Father, and I'm cold. I said, thank you, Father, that I have a lock to unlock, and we're not portable anymore. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Cultivating a life of thanksgiving. Walked into TSC. They have the best bird feed in the country there. Anyway, we like to feed the birds. Yes, and I feed the squirrels. So give me some bird feed, squirrel feed. I got little squirrels that come up to my office there on that glass, and they come up, put their paws. I'm serious. Chelsea, they put their paws up on the glass, start wagging their tails, and pound on the glass. I'm hungry. It's amazing. It's fun. I'm controlling all the squirrels now. So, and I looked down at that bird seed, and this is exactly what I did. I said, thank you, Father, that I can even afford to buy that. Then I received a text that would make you want to go, and just think, but no. Did the temptation come? Yes. But if you're cultivating a life of thanksgiving, I nipped it immediately. And I began to call up all of my memorial stones of my Father God, the Christ who's in me, who's worked in my life. And I've been to call, I called up those memorial stones of all the things that God has done in the past. And I said, nope. I said, Father, I'm going to choose to give you praise, honor, and glory. I know that you have got this. You're in control of this. I am not going to let this circumstance change anything I'm doing, change the way I'm thinking, change the rest of my evening. I'm going to rest in you, and I'm going to praise you. I'm going to find a reason to give you thanks. And I begin to call off all the things he had done in the past already. I got up out of that chair, and I was just fine. All of a sudden, my praise, my thanksgiving consumed the circumstance. Anybody with me? I was speaking to the circumstance by giving my thanks. I found reason to give him thanks anyway. That's what you got to do. Oh my gosh, Pastor was tempted. Oh yeah. Yeah. I cut that bolt off that gate out there and tell the owner, I think somebody tried to break in, you know. Yeah, that's Gary. We have got to exercise and grow. And let me use the word that we love to tell our kids, that we need to tell ourselves. We need to grow. We need to mature in the area of digging deeper and finding a reason to give thanks. We've got to give thanks. Just like Rochelle and I, every time we tithe 10% of our entire income regularly, always have, we give thanks for a God who did so much for us. This is so small compared to what he's done for us, and we just give him thanks. And what happens? God does things. That thanksgiving overcomes all kinds of reports. It does. We've got to dig deeper. Number two, thankfulness is a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a testament to our faith. Come on. Cultivating a life of thanksgiving, and the world sees it, it's a testament to our faith, and it's a witness to the world who is in need of Christ Jesus. John and Sally, that's exactly what you did. You testified to your faith through your choosing to find a reason for thanksgiving, and it ministered to the world around you. It testified to their faith. Where are we in our thanksgiving? If someone hung out with you all day long, would they hear more negativity from you or thanksgiving? What are you giving testament to, your faith or your lack of faith and your doubt? Ooh. What are we witnessing to? We're witnessing to my doubt, my unbelief, or am I witnessing to my faith in the Christ who's within me? Come on. We need to all ask that question, myself included. Be glad when he gets on to the next series. It's not a burdensome thing to do, church. We can cultivate a life of thanksgiving because it's a benefit to our lives. Can I speak to the bigger benefit? It's a benefit to that world that needs Jesus. They need Jesus. And it's a benefit to them. It changes our hearts and our minds to line up with God and His will for our life. And what is God's will for our life? That we give thanks in all circumstances. A pin truth this morning, a lifestyle of thanksgiving aligns us with the heart of God, who is the source of all blessing. Here's another truth. Despite facing constant persecution, despite facing being thrown in prison, despite being arrested and thrown into the Colosseum so lions could eat them alive, the church called the Way was known for their culture of thanksgiving in the middle of their circumstances. They did not let their circumstances change the praise that came out of their mouths. They found reason to give thanks in the middle of their circumstances. Even as they're being thrown into jail, it's documented, as they're being arrested, as they're being harassed, even as the lions are about to kill them, they found reason to give thanks in their circumstances. We need to step back and say, oh, thank you, God, I didn't live back in that time. What we need to say is, Lord, help me be more like them. They should be heroes. Not a reason to say, I'm glad I didn't live in that time. No, those are the heroes of faith. Those are the heroes of proving that Christ was in them. Come on. We don't face any of that. But their thanksgiving was not dependent on their external circumstances. Their thanksgiving was centered in Christ in them, the hope of glory. We've got to cultivate a life of thanksgiving. We've got to cultivate a life of thanksgiving. We're all facing things. We're facing some things. You're facing things. But I know no better way than to face stuff, circumstances, than to find a reason to give thanks to the Father God in my circumstances. And allow that to bring joy and peace, and to consume my circumstances. What are we going to choose to do? Are we going to dig, or are we going to skim? Philippians 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is the promise? Let's read the promise again. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the promise. What did he tell us in the beginning? Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. That's not easy, but it is absolutely possible because Christ lives in me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, what? With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Okay, God, I got up. It's 5 a.m. Now, let me get my complaints out of the way, and then I'll thank you. All right, let me get my agenda out on the table and tell you everything I want, need, what's going wrong, and what's going bad before I praise you. No. Get up in the morning, and the first thing you do is you worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you do that well, and it will set you right for the time ahead as you begin to make your request known to God, even your circumstances. It changes your heart. It changes your mind. It changes your focus. It changes the whole purpose of what you're doing when you worship Him first. My habit is to begin to worship Him the moment I wake up in bed. Before I ever get out of bed, I begin to worship Him. I'm telling you, it is the pattern that I believe. Whether you do it in the same way, doesn't matter. I don't care if it's at noon. Don't care if it's 3 o'clock. Don't care if it's in a park. But you open your heart and you worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that sets the day. Yeah, but what if stuff comes at me? Just remember what you did when you got up. Just pause for a moment. Say, Father, I'm going to find reason to give you thanks. I am not going to let this overcome me. Matthew Henry, another one of my favorite people, said, thanksgiving is good, but thanksgiving is better. Thanksgiving. Give thanks, but live it. It's like reading the Bible. You hear me say this. Man, I've been saying this since we planted the church. I was saying it before we planted the church. Don't just read the Bible. Live the Bible. Put yourself there. Live the Bible. Let's do the same thing. Let's don't just give thanksgiving. Let's live out thanksgiving. Okay? I know it's not always easy. I do. I know it's not easy. You know? I do. You know, I walked up to that gate there and I was going, you know, the thought would be, when's this going to, you know, when do I not have to do this anymore? Come on. Been there? When do I not have to face this anymore? When will this change? Everybody with me? It's a choice. It's a choice to find reason to be thankful. It's a choice. My final statement this morning. We have a God who loves us, is with us every step of the way, and promises to work all things together for our good. So let's take this series to heart. If you didn't hear part one and part two, I challenge you. Either go watch it or go listen to it on Facebook or YouTube at North Elevation Church. We need what I've been preaching for 2024. I don't know how to be any more serious with you. God spoke to me. He said, this is your opening sermon series because this is a need in 2024 for the church. Let's dig deeper in the Word, in prayer, and in living a life of thanksgiving. It's not always easy to do, but all things are possible and worth it. As we do this, we'll experience a deeper relationship with God, a greater sense of peace and joy that surpasses all understanding. As I've done for the last two Sundays, it will be the same today as I follow what God told me to do. He said, ask the church to commit. And if you're a guest with us today, I'm going to ask you to commit. People say, don't ask the guests to do that. Just let them just sit. No. If God has you here today, you're here on appointment to hear something that you need, whether it was just one little thing out of the message, one little nugget, it was for you. And so there is a commitment to what we hear and what we gain from that moment. But the Lord said that we've got to start digging in the Word of God and quit skimming it. The Lord said we've got to start digging deeper in prayer and quit skimming in prayer. And the Lord is telling us we've got to quit skimming in worship only when it's prosperity and joy is all about. We're real good at worshiping and giving God praise when everything's awesome. You know? But when something hits, that's where we find out where we really are. That's when we find out, is Christ Jesus in me where my belief system sits in those moments? So, church, as we've done for the past 2 weeks, I'm going to call you to stand and commit to the Lord in 2024 that you're going to cultivate a life of thanksgiving, something that's not natural, it's not easy, but you're going to begin to cut a path, literally, of living a life of thanksgiving before Father God. Because there's benefits. Great benefits. Father, we come to you this morning. And we commit, simply commit this moment to you. To say, I will cultivate a life of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be